Hey, and welcome to Affiliate Dialogues. This is the place where we dive into the minds of entrepreneurs, creators, publishers, and innovative thinkers. Whether you're starting a business, exploring affiliate marketing, or wanting to take to the next level, join me as we explore digital insights and tactics shaping the future together. As a senior publisher acquisition manager in a global affiliate network, she plays a key role in driving growth across Central Europe. With extensive experience in performance marketing and business development, she brings valuable insights into the industry. Hey, Silvia, how are you?
Hello, Hannah. Doing good. It's a good sunny day in Berlin.
Wow. That's a good sign for a good mood. I'm always starting my episode with some quick questions. And I thought also it's very nice to just to get to know you a little bit more. And my first question is, you've managed publisher relationships across multiple regions. Do you have a key strategy, or what's the key to build long-term partnerships in affiliate marketing?
I think when it comes to affiliate marketing, especially from my positioning where I'm working for a network, so I don't necessarily have to be particularly loyal to one brand. So it's, I think open discourse is really important. I get to then talk to brands and say, hey, you know your audience the best, so tell me, what is going to be the fit for you? We are working in performance, so we want things to function. So that way, you know what's going to perform, you tell me about it, and let's talk openly about what do I know? Because on some cases, I might get off the top of my head really quickly. I might have an idea of what partner can they work with. And I might also know that some of our other partners might not be the right fit. So I think this kind of open discourse is really important. I think even at the cases, and I have done that as well when I was an advertiser, that I had to, of course, have the publishers, have this partner only talking about my topic. Mm-hmm. It's always important to keep an open ear and discuss, hey, what do you know? What's going to work? Because not everything would work the same way. Not all partnerships are the same. So let's have an open discussion about it.
Yeah. No, that's really important. Yeah, to be open also to others and not just to pressure with your own idea. Yeah. Nice tip. And also, I see that you speak a lot of languages. So as someone who is fluent in multiple languages, how important do you think language skills are important in global affiliate marketing?
Well, I think definitely being able to speak different languages helps you. We are also a core characteristic of performance market and of online market really is not being particularly binded to a location. So we might be sitting in Germany, but not only work with German partners or someone who really only works with German partners might not be sitting in Germany. I think it's a mixture of both. Like, it's not necessarily like you absolutely must have, but it's a great thing if you're able to speak the partner's language. That means that you're able to do market research and you're able to understand also from a cultural fit the level of which a partnership or a type of publisher, how relevant and how representative could it really be when it comes to that culture. I feel like it's a great fit. So I've kind of just in general learned languages because I was always interested in stories and I was always interested in getting to know people. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that it's a good fit around because how I speak Russian, for example, and I learned Russian because I love classical ballet. So nothing to do with performance, but not performance marketing.
Yeah.
And with that, then I was able to sometimes at events, I've actually picked up people speaking in Russian. They were then very surprised because first, the way you approach people is different from their business culture. They're not so used to this very let's have a chat and then already when someone liked me was approaching them in Russian, it was a little bit like what kind of a spy are you? I've been told that my Russian has an accent, but because it's quite hard to guess Spanish speaking Russian, I've been told that I sound like if I could be from the Caucasus. So they really? Said, like, you sound like you could be maybe from like Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, like one of those Soviet languages where people used to learn Russian, but of course they have an accent because they are very far away. So
that's would you say Russian is your favorite language to learn?
Russian was probably the language that I learned for the most like hobby based. Because of ballet, but I have used it at a professional context, like semi-professional. I mean, on LinkedIn terms, I write, I think LinkedIn says limited professional fluency. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't have that often meetings talking in Russian, but I am able to have meetings I'm able to speak normally in Russian, and I have Russian colleagues of mine that wanted to push me at events to show some of my knowledge of Russian rap music. So very, very trashy Russian rap from like the 2000s. They were like, yes, you absolutely, this person now that you're going to talk about performance marketing to should definitely be getting that kind of performance from you.
Oh my God. Okay. That sounds crazy.
it's a language that I sometimes use. I am also somewhat fluent in French as well. I learned French at school in Spain. I lived for 1 year in Paris as well. So it's a language that I can also speak. My sixth language then would be Arabic. Which is actually, it's also kind of a personal overcrossing into the professional world for me at my company, because we have a lot of clients in the luxury fashion sphere. Mm-hmm. They are also interested in, when they say the Middle East, they really mean the Gulf. So they mean Saudi, Emirates, Dubai. Because of that at my company, then I was sort of chosen as an unofficial point of contact because of my best experience.
Okay, so that's the final point. Learn languages. It's useful in every case.
Yeah, you'll never know when you're
going to. You never know.
So you have to learn first to get confident when it comes to using it at work. If it's something that you learn strictly for work, the moment where you start talking, it's always going to feel very hard. Like languages, I think languages, they go first on your brain. Then once you get enough information, it somehow downloads into then your throat, because it gets stuck in your throat and it's not really able to come out. So I feel like at the beginning, it's something that definitely you need time to be able to use foreign languages at a professional level. So
of course. All right. And then I have my last third question, which is your favorite performance marketing, not a Russian ballet performance trend. Is there a current trend or strategy in affiliate marketing that excites you the most?
Well, I think that from the publisher sphere, which is where I belong, the current trend has been, let's see how much AI can we all use. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of possibilities when it comes to how much AI is going to play a role into what we're doing. Are we talking from a productivity kind of level, or even kind of to content creation? Like I know influencer networks who are able to use AI to curate an Instagram post. So shout out to Styling there. They are one of those companies that are able to do such a thing. There are also, as I mentioned in my network, we are heavy within the shopping sphere. So there, I also know a lot of companies that are trying to build this AI experience into shopping. So they are like, okay, according to what we know, what this user is telling us about what they would like to shop, and based on the information that we know from the brands, let's try to come up with very well-targeted shopping experiences. I think like this has been something that I have heard even really before the dawn of things like ChatGPT. I remember a couple of, I think, 2 years ago at the Berlin Open E-Commerce, I had a conversation with someone who was trying to build a comparison site for luxury handbags.
Uh-huh.
And there it was really interesting that he wanted to even have AI build some kind of a three-dimension model for the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So that he would be able to like see the bag, front, back, turn it around. And
nice.
He wanted to use the data from the network. So he wanted to
okay.
use the pictures that the brands are giving us via their product catalog. And have AI then build something out of that. So I think that on that, also when it comes to the potential for kind of reevaluating the
yeah.
current collaterals that clients are able to give, I think like there is definitely something very interesting there. Each brand has a couple of thousands, maybe more, maybe less products.
Mm-hmm.
Each network has a whole lot of brands. So there is a whole lot of potential data available
yeah.
there that we could be able to say when it comes to how should you be showing your products in a way that will make more users want to click on that. And this is interesting really for brands and also for publishers.
Great insight. Kind of yeah. fun trend.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very fun trend that is.
Yeah.
So it's not both like, okay, will we create everything? Like there is
yeah.
there's going to be a lot of uses of AI, and some of them
yeah.
are going to be very useful and are going to maybe even bring the affiliate branch forward, and some of them are going to be not that useful.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When it comes to, for example, the basic of let's be a publisher, let me create
yeah.
a website.
Yeah.
We know that now website creation and collateral creation when it comes to images, that now this thing's really easy.
Yeah.
Is it something that's going to be directly having an effect on how the users perform? Probably not, because the users are also equally able to and equally trained to
yeah.
To recognize those AI images to the point that it might not impress them enough to actually take the action the
yeah.
affiliate marketer would like them to use. But
yeah
even on that, I think we will be seeing how users react to that. Even on that, they could say that maybe a particular kind of user for a particular kind of product might actually like to see this kind of images that are accessible to more beginner affiliate marketers.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for answering the quick questions. I think now we already get a lot of insights about where you're coming from and what your hobbies are as well, and what trends you like. And also now I want to know a little bit more about your whole journey, also your whole journey into affiliate marketing. How did you get started? What drew you to this industry, and also how has your career evolved over the last years?
So how did I get started in affiliate marketing? Well, I got started by lying. I initially applied for a position in affiliate marketing, and that position required some experience in affiliate marketing. And the problem, to say, was I previously hadn't done anything
mm-hmm.
that was called affiliate marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I first did was, well, lying, I mostly said it for the clickbait. I just transformed my experience into telling the hiring manager that yes, this thing that I used to do, it's really very similar to affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
So I used to that was my first job after graduation, where I came to Berlin for, and it was at a startup that wanted to build their own shopping platform for exclusive handmade products. So my
oh,
job
nice.
Was talk to the sellers, like find interesting things online from people making jewelry, people making food products, people making kind of anything with this like handmade approach,
mm-hmm.
and convince them to let us take their products, put them on our platform, and if we sell something, then they fulfill that purchase, and we also share something with them. So this is why I thought, once I wanted to apply to this position, and I thought like, okay, affiliate has this component of sharing, has this component of I bring you people to your shop.
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to what I was doing, and this is why I confidently claim that, yes, I have done affiliate marketing. I know from the hiring manager at that time that there actually were other candidates that actually had more experience.
Really?
But she liked how straightforward I was, and I was able to convince her, like, right now to this day we actually became friends, so I was able to kind of tease her directly with this, like, you know, I lied. And she was like, yeah, but you were good about it.
Fake it till you make it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, also when it comes to, in general, when it comes to marketing, there is a lot of competencies that you can bring from other areas.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things where it's like, okay, is this affiliate? Is this not affiliate? Sometimes you go to events, to broader marketing events, and you ask people, are you looking for affiliate? They're like, no, affiliate is that coupon thing, but we are looking for mutually positively performing partnerships. So I was like, okay, call me a partner if that's what you'd like to do. There is a lot of different capacities. There is a lot of development also within the role. I think affiliate marketing is very much of an umbrella kind of channel where you can be doing different things. So if you could be someone that comes from experience in SEO, you could be someone that comes from an experience in paid. I was someone that came from an experience of blogging. Mm-hmm. I used to have my own website in Spain when I was studying in university. I thought that, okay, I'm doing a double degree, and I'm not having enough writing done, so I want to have my own website. And with that, the website was about classical ballet as well. Mm-hmm. So I then was invited sometimes to press shows to write about the opening night. I was writing for magazines in dance. And this all happened because of the blog. So I do have a background in content marketing like that. And it was something that I felt is useful. So previously, before I came to Germany, I continued flirting with this. Was I going to become a journalist? I even applied to a master in journalism, mm-hmm. where they told me, yes, we see that you have experience in theater, but you know, we already have one dance theater. He's 80, so call us when you are old enough. Who knows? Maybe there's still a chance to be a dance journalist.
Wait 20 more years and then maybe then they see you have enough experience.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I think that jobs based around communication could sometimes seem a little bit scary, as in, especially also the experience. My point of view is that of a migrant. Then from Spain, I moved to Germany to study a master in communications, which is very much also this umbrella type of discipline that is not marketing. It could turn into marketing, and in my case it turned into marketing, but for other people it could be still in between communication. So I think that marketing was a way to pivot into a place that still was allowed me to work with telling stories, to work between companies without necessarily having to be me, the person talking to the camera, or being a journalist per se.
Yeah, nice. I think I like that you mentioned that, like, when you talk to this person also at the event, that like affiliate marketing is still, I think that's like exactly the point why my podcast exists, you know, that people have like this little knowledge about affiliate marketing, but out of the bubble, they don't have a knowledge. But then the more you are learning about this topic, like, for example, you said when you had this website, you know, like, even all these things, like talking about other things, or like having a website and also promoting, for example, the performance or the shows, like, all these things are still part of it, kind of, but like, people are more seeing it like black and white, you know? So I think, it's really helpful to speak up. And then, but as we know, it was meant to be for you to end up in this field, because You could pretend so well. So now look where you are now. So perfect.
It's been around 7 years now that I have been working in affiliate marketing. So now I can claim to be in the niche. Affiliate marketing is a good place if you're interested in trying different things around the online world, because it could be a place where you end up doing paid. It could be a place where you are doing content. It could be a place where you're doing influencer. So it depends. There is also, it probably looks different depending on where you land within the affiliate sphere. So your priorities as a publisher or as a network or as a brand could be different, and because of the priorities of that kind of a business, and also what kind of team you happen to land in. My first affiliate team was interesting because the whole marketing team was sitting in the same office.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the chance to discuss with people from other marketing channels and say, hey, is there something that we can do for you? The paid marketing lead could say, hey, there's no chance that your publishers are gonna outbid me on Google, but if you want them to do Bing, I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want them to do Yandex in Russia, I don't mind. So this kind of knowledge across countries that you could help bring the rest of the marketing channels forward by activities that you're doing in affiliate, I think it's a really interesting factor that goes a little bit forward rather than this older knowledge of, okay, affiliate is that thing with the coupons. An offline example that I always use when I'm explaining to people what affiliate marketing is, and I'm always thinking to my teenage times when I was in Spain, and I was thinking this one of a lot of people's first job or those kind of wished jobs were the guys that can get you on the guest list of a club.
Yeah.
So this kind of agreement, it's like, okay, dear club, I know a lot of friends, I'm gonna bring a lot of people to your party, they're gonna spend so much money on your club, and you're gonna then, you will be valuing me as someone who can bring you a lot of customers. So this is something that's very old-fashioned or like intemporal as well, one could say. So this existed since forever in the offline world. So when I had to explain to my parents what is it that I do, like, this is usually the kind of things that I explain. We just do it a little bit more of a fancy way, in that we get to be on the computer, we get to maybe try to get clients from very different countries to very different kinds of things. But it is there is an element of cooperation between two companies 100%. Together to come to a wished outcome.
Nice. I love that explanation. Since this podcast today, or since this episode is about women in affiliate marketing, I also want to talk with you about challenges and opportunities for women. Do you have, or do you think, like, what unique challenges do women face in the affiliate marketing space? And also, with International Women's Day in mind, do you think the industry has made progress in gender equality, or how would you say it's nowadays? Do you think there's still a long way to go? How was your experience?
I think that in general, going into the broader marketing umbrella term, it is perceived as a female or a female friendly kind of profession. So it would be, I'm not sure how exactly it looks like on a statistical perspective at universities, but it would be one of the kind of professions where you expect a mixed outcome of gender, or where you would expect at least more equal.
Mm-hmm.
I would say then, on my personal experience of working in affiliate in Germany, that it isn't really as equal as people expect, and it isn't really as female even based. Or I would say my experience of coming to events is that the average affiliate marketer in Germany, it's a guy on his mid-40s.
Okay.
Yeah. Which when you first start, or even if you have again this conversation that you would be having with your friends, where you just say you cut out the affiliate parts so that they might not understand, and you just say I work in marketing, they probably expected a different thing.
Like the Emily in Paris show. You watch Emily, yeah, right.
at my company, we have a lot of clients within the fashion sphere. We have a lot of clients within the luxury sphere. I empathize with that show, even if I never made it to the Paris office of my company, which I heard is not as fancy. But yeah, I mean, a part of me feels like, well, yes, of course. And sometimes if I'm dressed the part, I think people can believe, yes, you look like someone who works in marketing because you are extroverted, you speak foreign languages, you are yourself an immigrant. But yeah, the experience is different. Also, since I work for a company that isn't necessarily seen as a German company within the affiliate sphere, I also have the experience of going to affiliate events in other countries.
Yeah.
And in other countries, things look different. Mm-hmm. So I think that definitely if I'm talking as myself, as a woman who is sort of young, let's just say it's relevant how old I happen to be. But if you are someone who reads young, you might initially feel like you are a different one in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there is also a lot of, it just so happens that for a lot of people, you might someday find yourself being the old one in that room. It's not a question of, is that room a particular bad thing? It's just a question of, in a way, intersectionality, that it just so might happen. We all might fit into different molds depending on the situation. But I think also the industry, while there is this general first impression of bravado of this, like, okay, the average German affiliate marketer will then be able to claim that, oh, this person, we have been buddies for 20 years. And if you come in, you might feel a little bit like, oh, I don't have buddies since 20 years working in affiliate. Like, okay, you don't necessarily have to lie, but when it comes to if people are saying we're buddies, yeah, we're buddies. Also, a very favorite dear moment of mine actually happened after I think I started being in the industry long enough that people recognize me. Mm-hmm. So I actually got into being the person that someone else would tell their colleagues, yeah, I know Sylvia very well. I know Sylvia very well. We work together. We know each other very well. Mm-hmm. And I was there. I was at the stand at the De Mexico or at the OMR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw that. I heard that she was telling. She was telling her colleagues. And in reality, we probably had just exchanged a couple of emails.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love the confidence. If you are not sure that you start how much you know people, like just be open to just be open to knowing people, and also probably just persevere. Probably just come into that room as often as you can do.
Yeah.
If at the beginning, if you leave the room, if you leave an event and you only spoke to two people, well, that's two people less than the next time you have to introduce yourself to.
That's nice. And also, it's not like it doesn't depend on, okay, it's the biggest event, everyone else's event. Like, also go to small events.
Absolutely. The smaller ones, I feel.
Yeah. We also met in the kitchen, in a small kitchen of an office. You know, like, that's how you get to meet people and talk. In like in a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, the more that we now are having more events in Berlin, so shout out to Advanced Store and Sales Butlers,
and exactly
inside of the Advanced Store for organizing their Affiliate Connect a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. It was really useful. I also brought in some new publishers in there who are having like full freshies. Mm-hmm. I think probably I suspect that it was their first affiliate event, and they were delighted by the chance to be there and meet everyone.
Like, Affiliate Connect is really growing, and it makes me so happy that it's working so well. And it started just as a small idea in the office, and now it's getting more and more big, and more people are coming and joining and having fun. And yeah, it's a great opportunity.
I think also, like with anything in online marketing, even if people know each other, there's always new people entering the space, and there is always new companies. Even for brands that could be very representative in the space, there might or might not be having someone sitting there in that country. Sometimes I speak to companies and they tell me, oh, I don't need a media kit, everyone knows me.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it was really strange that you would say, like, oh no, I don't make any kind of material telling my story. It seems like it's quite lost for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, people might know you, but why won't you like more people to know you? I mean, if there is a story to be told about your company, about your brand, you should kind of always be open to working on that story, because also not one size fits all. So let's say coupons or loyalty or content, we all know what it is, and we all know how it works in practice, but campaigns could be different. So it's about what is it that you should be telling so that this kind of brand then gets interested into what you're doing.
Of course. Also, what I want to know is, do you have some success strategies, and also what were your learnings, or like, are there any lessons you've learned that you like to share, or are there any key strategies which have helped you to succeed?
I think definitely, as I was saying previously, keep your eyes and your ears open to learning things.
Yeah.
So put yourself out there and try to learn from what you can. Also, give yourself grace into developing. Yes, there are many different aspects to affiliate marketing, and there is a lot of things we could do from when it comes to understanding an algorithm, from understanding your own reports, or maybe even learning coding so that you can understand how the pixel is being fired and you can deduplicate clicks. There is a lot of things that you could do, and you probably are not going to be learning everything from the first time. And even if you have the chance to first have a kind of role where you can play more, a lot of the things are going to stay with you and develop throughout time. So my first manager in affiliate, we were just a team of two, so I really got to kind of try a little bit of everything and have the chance to participate into, if you have your own affiliate solution, how does tracking work? How does everything work? But things develop. Like at the beginning, she used to tell me that I was not so good in Excel. And now my team thinks I'm really good in Excel. I mean, whether and it's even something where I probably didn't train that much but it just came. What it took was I came to another company where I had access to a whole lot of data, so I was able to then try and dive into this kind of things where because we definitely see a lot more than I used to be able to see, because previously I could just see the performance for my brands. Now I can see the performance for a whole lot of brands. So there was a lot of trying to do things on context, trying to do things with a broader story to that. I believe that a whole lot of things that could be very boring could be interesting if you find the right way for it to work for you. If you find the right way to empathize with it, then it makes learning a whole lot easier.
I completely agree. Okay, and also, the last topic is networking and female support systems.
There's a lot of chances to have internal cycles. I tried throughout the last year, I actually was trying to explore different cycles, different circles, different circles for working women, but there wasn't really that much of a thing about being a female working in affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
So it was at the time, unfortunately, life sort of got in the way. But for me, that that conversation in the kitchen that you and I and Sabrina Stiller from Impact had, that actually kind of got into my mind that, oh, there should be a circle for women working in affiliate marketing. Yeah. And I even spoke with Sabrina about it separately after that. And I was thinking about it. And then Nadine opened her LinkedIn group. And then I just said, okay, well, that's the circle. So it's good if more than one person was thinking about it.
Yeah, that's definitely something which was missing.
So I think it's great, and it's really good that it came through that. And I can see that also that Nadine herself is also one of the persons that's very visible at events, and I know that through that then she gets the support of people at AWIN, of people in itself in Advanced Stores, since you guys are also earning the experience organizing events. I hope there will be a real life meeting of that LinkedIn group very soon. It's something that it's growing, so it's good that we are organizing our way through it. If you are someone who is active within a broader marketing sphere, then I feel like it's also easier to jump into that. But if you're active in marketing, you might also have figured out this lack of knowledge about performance marketing.
Yeah.
So you might land up around people who are working on marketing more from a public relations kind of aspect than performance. We are, so it's a good thing to mix. Like, there was always the question of, okay, do we belong in women in tech kind of circles, which there are a lot online.
Yeah.
It's a question of, I think when I have been myself to this kind of circles and I ask people, like, I am not sure if I'm a woman in tech, they said, no, of course you are a woman in tech. It's about telling yourself, like, yeah, do we belong in those cycles? In those cycles and in all of the cycles, because we belong in affiliate marketing, and women belong in the work sphere, as we all know. Morally, that has been accepted. On the practical sense, there is a bigger way to go right now. It's a question of whether we officially call it a quota or not. We know what the situation is currently like in Germany when it comes to boardrooms, when it comes to reaching places where decisions are being taken care of. There is definitely a place for more women to be there, even if at some cases it might look like there is not. Well, we just have to remain there until we are.
It was a nice quote. So thank you very much, Sylvia, for joining my episode today. I'm really happy that you were here today and shared your insights, and also that I learned more about you as well. Do you have any last words to wrap it up, or a message or something?
Yeah, so I would stay within what I was saying. So it's about being in the room, continue your activity. If you're looking for inspiration, try to move yourself so that you find that inspiration. People in the affiliate branch are open to mentoring. I think that sometimes we just assume that people won't have the time for that, but do it if you happen to be at a place where you're finding learning difference. So then try to find that inspiration in other places, because who knows, maybe at one point the people, those mentors from outside that you first spoke to might very well end up being people you work with, or you might end up being like a brand and they are publishers, or you end up being in the network. Like, the world is also sometimes smaller and the room could be a lot more cozy than we think that it is.
That's a great mindset. Yeah. So enter the room, speak up and connect. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.